Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and with us this morning is Dr. Valerie Smith with the St. Paul Children's Foundation in Tyler, supplying a variety of medical and social services for children and their families, and where, as you say on your website, children come first. Good morning, Valerie. Great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, John.
You bet. Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website early in the morning, the day after the show airs. Valerie, welcome. It's been a while. You are the you work in a pediatric clinic at St. Paul Children's Foundation. Did I use the right terminology there?
Yes, I am a pediatrician there. I have been there for 11 years.
Okay, and we've done this show before with your executive director, Charlene McGee. We've been doing shows with St. Paul Children's Foundation off and on for years here on the radio stations, and this is the first time you've come to visit with us, and there's a very special reason that you're here, and it's because of a large grant that has to do with a community-wide initiative that you are just getting rolling, which we're going to be talking about a lot. It's from the Episcopal Health Foundation, and let's see, the name of it is, help me out here.
It's Community-Centered Health Homes.
Community-Centered Health Homes. Okay, so if everybody listening this morning, we'll keep that in mind. We'll get to that shortly because it represents really kind of a watershed moment in the history of, I would say, certainly your agency and probably social services in our community. But let's go ahead and lay a little bit of groundwork first. For anyone who's not familiar with the St. Paul Children's Foundation, of course, you're located at 1358 East Richards Street. And matter of fact, if you're driving down Front Street and you see DeHaven Eye Clinic, and if you're headed back towards downtown, you make a right and you'll be there before you know it. That's the landmark that we usually use. Let's talk a little bit about the St. Paul Children's Foundation. For anybody who isn't familiar or who needs a refresher course, it started, I guess, back in the 1990s as a ministry of St. Paul United Methodist Church.
Yes, actually, even in the late 80s, one Sunday morning, one of the women, Deb Mallory, who went to church at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, was walking into church, and a young Hispanic boy rode his bike in front of her on the street there where the church was, and stopped and asked her if he could go to church there. And she said, absolutely, you know, anyone is welcome here. And he kind of looked at her and he said, well, my brother says only rich white people can go there. And he hopped back on his bike and rode off. And that kind of put a bee in her bonnet. And she went into her Sunday school class and said, you know, we have got to do something about this. We need to find ways to engage the community that is around us and that is in our church. And over the, you know, 15, 20 years before that occurred, that neighborhood had changed significantly in demographics and finances and things like that. And so really they started as an after-school program, and the women of the church decided that they wanted to have what they called Wonderful Wednesdays, which was an after-school program, and thought, oh, we'll be happy if we get, you know, 10 kids the first day. And the first day they had, you know, almost 50 children. And what happened is that over time, as they were getting to know the children and families in the neighborhood and the children and families really who were growing up in poverty in our community, they discovered that they had just a wealth of other needs, right? They needed medical care. They needed clothes. They needed food. They needed dental care. And so slowly over time, with the help and support of several Methodist churches in town and really other faith-based organizations in town as well, the foundation was kind of born out of that.
All righty. So in 1996, St. Paul Children's Foundation was organized, and it has just kept growing and growing and growing. A food pantry and clothes closet established pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And then before long, you segued into medical services, dental services, and the rest, as they say, is history. And that history is continuing to be written because obviously a lot going on with you right now. Let's go over just a little bit about what you do. And along the way, if we can maybe give some of the hours when some of these different facilities are open to the public, your main office and the different clinics, starting off with a pediatric medical and dental clinic. That pediatric medical clinic is your home base. I know you can talk a lot about that, but let's talk about both of those.
Yes. So the pediatric medical clinic is open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. I'm there, my partner, Danny Price, and we have a nurse practitioner as well, Deirdre Leung, who has joined us over the last year and a half or so. And our goal is really to provide health care for any child in Smith County who needs it. So we will see anyone regardless of ability to pay. If a child doesn't have insurance, we use family income to kind of develop a sliding scale or develop a payment plan. But we take all forms of Medicaid, most forms of commercial insurance, and CHIP as well. The dental clinic is open Monday through Thursday, 7:30 to 5, and again, takes we'll see children who have Medicaid, CHIP. If there's a child who is having a problem or in pain who doesn't have any insurance, they will make sure that they are pain-free. So if they need any acute services, we'll take care of that.
All righty. Talking to Dr. Valerie Smith of the St. Paul Children's Foundation on In Focus this morning. I'm John Sims. We mentioned the address, 1358 East Richards Street. Phone number, by the way, 903-531-9455. You have several phone numbers for your different facilities, but that's the main one, and that'll probably get you anywhere you need to go on campus. And really, the more obvious landmark as far as being right next door, you are still right next door or across the street, right next door to or across the street from, depending on what part of the campus we're talking about, St. Paul United Methodist Church,
yes,
where it all began so many years ago. The website is stpaulchildren.org. That's stpaulchildren.org. And that is in the process of being updated. And there is going to be some new information on there pretty quickly, but still very good for just kind of general information that people might need to get in touch with you. Good email address is info@stpaulchildren.org. I can assume, I guess, that you have Facebook and maybe some other social media as well.
Yes, we are also on Facebook.
Okay. A little bit more about the medical clinic. There's so much that you do. On the website, there's like four paragraphs. Medical screenings for all enrollees in the Head Start program for the Tyler ISD and numerous other school districts in the Region 7 Education Service Area, which, for those who don't know, is based in Kilgore and covers a what I like to call a wide swath of East Texas.
Yes.
You're a participant in the Reach Out and Read program, and that's very interesting because, okay, people are going to think maybe, all right, you're about health. What does reading have to do with that? And the answer is quite a bit more than people realize.
Absolutely. So one of the things that's really important for people to recognize about pediatric health and medicine as opposed to sometimes to adult care is I always tell parents part of my job is to make sure that a child is healthy when they come in for a checkup, but it's also to give them that anticipatory guidance to make sure that the child is healthy for the next year to come. And that health includes not just physical health, but mental health, developmental health, those sorts of things, emotional health. And so we spend a lot of time talking about how children are doing developmentally and educationally. So Reach Out and Read helps us provide books to children from 6 months to 5 years of age at every well-child exam, and then we are able to give parents some guidance about how to use those books as children are developing to build their vocabulary, to get school readiness skills, and children who've participated in Reach Out and Read start kindergarten with about a six-month head start in their literacy skills because they've been read to regularly by their parents. Mm-hmm. They have higher vocabularies, things like that. It's a really, we know that children who are growing up in poverty have less access to books in their homes, so it's a really important way to get books into the hands of the children who need them most.
All right, another one that jumps out at me here, the Healthy Kids, Healthy Families program, which is held at your Andrews Park facility, and you can maybe kind of double up here, talk a little bit about that, and maybe a little bit about the Andrews Park piece of your campus and what some of the things that happened there besides that.
Well, one of the things that we recognized at St. Paul early on is that there was a need for a place for the community to get together, for people to have a safe outdoor space to play. And so we actually have Andrews Park that's got a playground and a pavilion, as well as a soccer field next door, which are really great places for the community to be able to come and just play, have birthday parties, different things like that. One of the really great things that happens at Andrews Park is that we are able to serve as a summer feeding site for the East Texas Food Bank summer lunch program during the summer. And so we have all of these children and families who come regularly to get meals. And so we started several years ago, basically Healthy Kids, Healthy Families started as a family wellness program, right? Help educate families in nutrition and physical activity, give kids a chance to do have some physical activity during the summer, learn some new games, learn some new healthy eating tips, things like that. We basically had a captive audience, and we wanted to use that as an opportunity to really teach families and kids some skills and maybe incite some enthusiasm for healthy lifestyle.
All righty. Moving on into the dental part of what you do, the St. Paul Children's Dental Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
What happens there?
So we have an amazing, we have our dentist is Brady Sweeney, and then we have an amazing group of dental hygienists and dental hygiene assistants who do all of the normal things you would think about when it comes to getting your teeth cleaned and your x-rays and if you have cavities, getting them filled and all those things. But I think what makes our dental clinic really remarkable is that they spend a lot of time educating families and a lot of time on prevention. They understand that most dental problems are things that can be avoided if we know how to take care of our teeth properly from an early age. And so they really spend a lot of time emphasizing that. They spend a lot of time going out into the community and doing Head Start dental education, things like that. And then they also, a couple of times a year, do a program called Give Kids a Smile, where kids, where we have dentists actually come in from all over the community and do a day worth of restorative dental care for children who don't have funding otherwise. It's a really great way to get the community involved. We are really fortunate to have an amazing group of dentists in East Texas who volunteer their time with us for that.
Okay. By the way, again, you can go to the website. Most of these places, the different components of your campus, including your main office on Richards, have pretty regular hours. What you would basic office hours Monday through Friday. They vary from one portion of the campus to another. Easiest way to get that information is probably to go to the website info@stpaulchildren.org. That's info@stpaulchildren.org. In the process of being updated, by the way, as we mentioned before, but all that information is up to date and easily accessible. You can also call 903-531-9455. If you're listening this morning and you think, hey, maybe I could use the services of the St. Paul Children's Foundation, that's how you get in touch. And did I mention a minute ago, info@stpaulchildren.org. Again, stpaulchildren.org if you want to shoot an email over that way. Talking to Dr. Valerie Smith with St. Paul Children's Foundation and Tyler, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus, and moving through some of the other programs you have, and we've landed on the food pantry. What is going on at the food pantry these days?
So our food pantry is open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Basically, we see clients from 9 to noon and then from 2 to 5, and families can come once a month. Depending on the size of your family determines, you know, how much food you can select. We run a pantry where anything that we have available is listed, and then families can choose from that. So they can choose what they want or need to help supplement their food. They also then have the opportunity to go through the clothes closet at the same time and select clothing for each member of the family as well. And we are have been, our pantry director, Debbie Turkelson, has been doing some great work over the last several years to really increase our healthy food offerings at the food pantry. One of the most exciting things we had happen this last year at St. Paul was a partnership with the Smith County Sheriff's Office. And Sheriff Smith and his staff and trustees, they farmed a 5-acre garden for us. And that provided fresh produce all through the growing season for our food pantry. And we'll continue that again next year in 2018. We're kind of in between growing seasons at the moment. But that's been a really great way to help provide more fresh produce to the families that we serve.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and in just a couple of minutes here, we're going to move into one of the, perhaps the real keynote portion of our show, where we talk about the Community-Centered Health Homes Initiative. And that's really important. It's the one thing you're doing now that you were, I think, maybe just kind of getting started with the last time we had St. Paul on the show. But just to run through a couple of things that folks will see if they visit the website. Khakis for Kids, you help low-income children in East Texas meet their back-to-school needs. And I guess that kind of comes under the auspices of the Clothes Closet. Or is that a different program?
Well, it runs through the foundation office where the Clothes Closet is as well. But it is heavily supported by the Junior League and some other some of the churches in town, as far as we use a lot of volunteer staffing for that program.
Yeah. Before we move on, let's talk a little bit about that. What kind of volunteers do you need at the foundation?
So we are always in need of volunteers to staff the Clothes Closet and the food pantry. We have one staff dedicated to each of those programs, but we see several hundred families a month, so you can imagine that we really rely on volunteers for that. There's also a wealth of other things. As we talk about community-centered health homes, we are looking for ways to integrate volunteers into some of the programs that we're doing there. In addition, Khakis for Kids, our Christmas program, the Secret Santa Workshop, utilizes a lot of volunteers around the holiday season. That's a great way if families want to volunteer, that children can come and help volunteer as well. And then throughout the rest of the year, For people who may have gifts or skills in the way of maintenance, yard, things like that, we actually have a relatively large campus at St. Paul's. We're really blessed to have really almost two blocks worth of campus, but that also means that there's a lot of upkeep, and anything that we can utilize volunteer work for helps to decrease, you know, the overhead, and then helps us put those dollars directly back into the hands of people who need it the most.
And speaking of dollars, there is a donation option on the website. You will gladly accept any and all donations. You do you get help from a lot of other organizations, a lot of partnerships. You mentioned the Junior League. I know you get some grants, one of which we're going to be talking about in a minute, but anytime anybody wants to make a financial donation, more than welcome to do so. You can do that on the website, stpaulchildren.org, and I'll also give that phone call at 903-531-9455, and the street address is 1358 East Richards Street, not far off East Front Street, near the DeHaven Eye Clinic, and also right next to the place where it all began, St. Paul United Methodist Church. Let's move now into this new initiative, Community-Centered Health Homes. This actually began in its very early stages in 2016. Let's get a little bit of background and history on that and talk about what it is, where you are with it today, and what you're looking ahead to, and what's going to be, you tell me, a big 2018 for this particular project.
So the Community-Centered Health Homes model was actually developed by an organization called the Prevention Institute out of California. But the Episcopal Health Foundation really has been looking for quite some time. Their kind of motto is health, not just healthcare. And so looking at ways to make our communities healthier and kind of seized on this model and this opportunity to help empower clinics across their diocese to be real movers in what's happening in their communities. And basically the concept of a community-centered health home is that it recognizes that there are factors that shape the health of their patients that occur in the community, that can occur not just within the clinic walls, but in all of the places where, for the children I see, where they live and work and play and go to school. And that those things, that if we don't address those things in the community, that we will not see really significant improvements, especially in chronic health conditions, things like obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, but even other things like stress and mental health and infant mortality here in East Texas, things like that, that we really need to look at what's happening holistically rather than just looking at things as health problems.
The initial focus is food insecurity, and the minute I started prepping for the show and I saw the word food insecurity, the East Texas Food Bank just kind of popped into my head in a big way. That is a term that we've heard over and over and over again from that particular agency, and they're one of your key partners in this project. What, though, is food insecurity, and how does it tie into this whole new project that you're getting rolling?
So food insecurity is basically when a family either doesn't have enough money to procure all the food that they need, healthy food that they need for, you know, for a period of time, for a month, or if they have bought food but they fear that they're going to run out and they don't know where they're going to get more from. And one of the reasons that we have chosen to look at food insecurity and to do some work around that here in East Texas is because one of the things a lot of people don't know about food insecurity is that it has a lot of ties to health and a lot of poor health outcomes. People think about things like anemia, low iron, or weak bones from not enough calcium and vitamin D. Those things make sense. But food insecurity is also tied with developmental delays for children. It's also connected to obesity. For adults, it's connected to a variety of mental health, you know, depression and anxiety and things like that. And so it really does play a role in a lot of health factors as well, which is why as a clinic, as an organization that helps provide health services, we felt like we had a unique perspective. We also felt like we were uniquely qualified. We're really the only place in the area that has a food pantry and a clinic running. And so we could speak to those issues particularly.
Okay, now you had a small grant in the first half of last year, and then just this past September, about 3 months back, you are one of 13 agencies in the state to receive this grant from the Episcopal Health Foundation, and the only one in Northeast Texas, and the others are all in what, the Houston and Austin areas? So that puts you in a very unique position.
Yes, we're really excited. It's a great opportunity to get to work with those other clinics, but it also is a great opportunity to really be a leader here in Northeast Texas.
Now, your vision is development of Smith County, of the Smith County Food Security Council, and you have multiple work groups, children and education, healthcare, urban agriculture, faith-based nonprofits. And as I understand it, right now, there are what are soon enough going to turn into full-fledged work groups and a full-fledged council, just kind of meeting regularly, interacting with each other, networking, laying the groundwork for just kind of a big rollout in 2018. Is that right?
Yes. So kind of mid last year, we started meeting regularly with the food pantries and the food bank, really helping to develop kind of a core group and some priorities for that. For faith-based organizations and food pantries. And then the last couple of months, we've gotten a group of wonderfully passionate people who are interested in urban agriculture and community gardens who are meeting regularly. In January, we plan to start meetings with the healthcare sector, which is kind of a unique perspective. A lot of hunger or food security councils across the state don't have a separate healthcare group, but because we really understand and believe so strongly in the link between food insecurity and health outcomes, we feel like there's a really important role. Also, because healthcare is such an important industry here in Tyler. Mm-hmm. I mean, it not only is it an important in providing services, but it's also our largest employer collectively.
Yes.
And so an incredibly important group of people to engage. And then early in 2018, we will have the children's group and we're already doing some work with TISD Head Start in that area, which is really exciting.
All right. Now, is that separate from food insecurity, or is it under the whole umbrella of food insecurity? You talk about the children, or is it just kind of all of a piece, basically?
All of those are kind of pieces of this larger council that we are working on developing.
On food insecurity.
Yes, on food insecurity.
Okay,
yes.
Good. And I know you've been interacting with the East Texas Human Needs Network, otherwise known as EATHN. Mm-hmm. We check in with Christina Folsom, the network weaver for that organization, about once a year. And that is, again, as people know, if they've been listening fairly intensively or paying attention to what's going on in the nonprofit community, that is just really a networking and interacting, what's the word I'm looking for here? I'm drawing a blank. It's a network, mm-hmm. a network of just different nonprofit and social service agencies that work together and meet very, very frequently. And just the fact that you're interacting with them and that they're an important part of what you're doing, it certainly tells me a lot. And I would say that that's going to have a lot to do with moving your project forward in the right way, based on my own experience.
One of the things that we want from this project, or this, it's not really even a project, it's really more of kind of a change in how we view things and how we think about things, but is really to break down some of the silos. And that's really one of Ethan's goals too, right? It's been that there have been people working in different areas in our community, whether it's healthcare or education, but really connecting everyone and getting us to talk to each other,
right,
so that we're working together. And so that definitely is a significant overlap.
I think you said that better than I did. Thank you very much. Okay, early 2018, you start having community-wide meetings to familiarize people face-to-face in meeting rooms, I guess, around the community, mm-hmm. with what you're doing. And then by June of 2018, you hope to have that full council up and rolling. I guess where we need to leave this for the moment is stay tuned, keep listening. You're going to be hearing more about this. Community-centered health homes through the St. Paul Children's Foundation, with food insecurity the focus.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of bookmark that, and once the holidays are over and everybody kind of gets back to normal, as it were, there's just going to be a lot more news about this coming out. Talking to Dr. Valerie Smith with the St. Paul Children's Foundation in Tyler, let's move on. We have a couple of pressing issues in child health we want to touch on with a few minutes left in the show. The current flu season anticipated to be severe, and we're already pretty much in that right now, aren't we?
Yes, we actually started seeing flu in October in our clinic, which is early for East Texas. But it is definitely here. We don't see any signs of it abating, and the Centers for Disease Control and Department of State Health Services and all those people who are way smarter at tracking numbers than I am have warned us that they anticipate this will be a pretty severe season. One important thing for parents to know, and just the listening public in general, is that it's not too late to get a flu vaccine.
Okay.
It takes about 2 weeks for a flu vaccine to be effective. The brunt of our flu season, though, is usually in January and February. February in East Texas. And so if they have not gotten their flu vaccine yet, not too late to go ahead and get it so that they're protected from what's probably going to be the worst part of our season.
And get it anywhere you like, but you've got it, right? At St. Paul.
Yes, okay. We certainly do. But yes, you can get it anywhere that you've got access. Your own providers, commercial pharmacies. I just want people to get covered.
All righty. And speaking of getting covered, CHIP and Medicaid funding could be facing a crisis with that. It's possible that some of this money could be running out fairly soon. What are we looking at as far as that goes right now?
Sure. Particularly CHIP, which is the Children's Health Insurance Program, which covers children from working poor families who don't qualify for Medicaid. They make too much to qualify for Medicaid but can't afford insurance out of pocket. And it's a cost sharing between parents and the state and the federal government. Federal funding for that expired on September 30th. And the federal government has allowed the state of Texas specifically to draw down a little bit of extra money to help us fill that gap. But if that funding is not renewed, the state of Texas will be out of money to fund that program on February 1st, and that will affect over 400,000 children in the state of Texas will lose their health care coverage, which is potentially devastating for those families. Also really significant for organizations like St. Paul's. About 10 to 15% of the children that we see, their health insurance comes from CHIP. And so that would easily double, if not close to triple, the number of uninsured children we see in a month, which would create a huge impact for our organization and really our whole community.
What about Medicaid funding? Issues on that?
So Medicaid funding continues to be something that is talked about a whole lot in Washington. I think what's important for people to know about Medicaid is that in Texas, the majority of people on Medicaid are children, over two-thirds, and yet children actually cost only about a third of the spending on Medicaid. Children are actually really pretty inexpensive to insure because, for the most part, thankfully, children are healthy, and most of what we do is ensure they continue to be healthy. But if we, as a state, face challenges with Medicaid funding continually, that will impact those children. I think it's also really important to know that children who have Medicaid coverage compared to their age-matched peers who don't have Medicaid coverage or insurance coverage as they're growing up, the children who have coverage actually grow up, it's not just health outcomes. Yes, they miss less days of school and they have better health as adults, but they also have higher graduation rates, they have higher employment rates as adults, and they pay more taxes as adults. So helping to fund children's health care really actually is an investment in the future of our country.
Mm-hmm. And I will just frame these as things to keep in mind, things to watch the news, listen to the news, keep up with what's going on, just kind of a good broad-based recommendation for anybody who's concerned with these issues. And there will be ways that you can get involved with that. If you have any questions about that or about anything else we've talked about this morning, surely you welcome phone calls at 903-531-9455, drop-ins at 1358 East Richards Street and anywhere on your campus, depending on the hours, which are pretty basic hours, as we mentioned before. StPaulChildren.org is the website, STPAULChildren.org, and then info@StPaulChildren.org is the email address. So anything and everything you hear on the show this morning, those are the contact points if you want to get more information. I wanted to, as we get ready to wind down the show, a couple of things that I noticed on your website, and we don't have a whole lot of specific information on them just now, but we will soon enough. There's a Guardian Circle luncheon coming up on February 1st and then an annual golf tournament on April 23rd. Watch the website. Make those phone calls if you maybe want to try and get a little bit more information. There will be more information about both of those events coming out soon enough. So February 1st, 2018, for the Guardian Circle Luncheon and then the annual golf tournament April 23rd. If you want a couple of good opportunities to make a financial donation and show your support for St. Paul Children's Foundation, maybe you want to pencil those in on your calendar and keep checking that website or make those phone calls if you want more information, which, again, I'm sure will be coming out soon enough. We have been talking to Dr. Valerie Smith with St. Paul Children's Foundation, 1358 East Richards Street, 903-531-9455, website stpaulchildren.org. Valerie, it's been a very interesting, educational, and informative show. And again, the one thing that we want to emphasize as we close out the show, and we talked about volunteers earlier. If you want to volunteer with the community-centered health homes initiative in Smith County with a focus on food insecurity. That's certainly something to keep in mind as we get ready to kick off 2018. Valerie, thanks for all the information. Great to have you visit with us this morning. Good luck with everything you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it, John.
You bet. Dr. Valerie Smith, St. Paul Children's Foundation, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Thanks for joining us. See you again next week on In Focus.